Happy Father's Day. And we are honoring dads today. You know, parenting has to be one of the most challenging jobs there is. There's, you know, lots of joys, but boy, there's lots of frustrations too. There's disappointments, and yet great rewards. Oh, there's lots of fear, and with it comes many blessings. So often there's that overwhelming inadequacy. Oh, who am I to think that I can raise these children or child? And then there's great amazement. Oh my, look at how they've turned out. You know, parenting is funny. There's no one right or perfect way to raise children. It's interesting, some parents are more skilled than others, but that does not guarantee success. Sometimes less skilled parents, or we might even consider them poor parents, can raise a wonderful child, and you wonder, how did they ever do that? And other parents, they can be just wonderful parents, and yet they can raise a difficult, rebellious child, and you wonder, how did that ever happen? What works well in raising one child may not work at all well in raising another. And just when you get finished and you think, aha, I've got it, then they move into the next stage of life and everything changes all over again. Oh, parenting is a challenge. But we honor fathers today, and do your best to be the best dad that you can be. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And this sermon today, well, it's for dads, but it's for mums and for all of us. Jesus' sermon isn't just for particular people, it's for all of us, and we all need to listen to it. And I trust that there's something that's meaningful for you today as you tune in with us. Jesus said in Matthew 6, starting in verse 25, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." You know, that little word worry occurs 6 times in these 10 verses. Is there anything that you're worried about today? Is there something that's troubling you? You know, Jesus lists a whole range of things that people worry about. Now, of course, when Jesus said this, he was speaking in a particular context. He didn't just randomly start talking about worrying. And the context that Jesus is speaking in starts back in verse 19, where Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." And last week we looked at these verses, and we saw what begins as our treasure in verse 19, occupies our heart in verse 21, and becomes our vision in verse 22, and it becomes our master in verse 24. Jesus states that our treasures are either earthly or they are heavenly. Our lives are either humanly oriented or they are God oriented. There's no middle ground where you can straddle the fence and have it both ways. You can't serve both God and, as the King James Version puts it, mammon or money. You know, last week we talked about this whole area of earthly and heavenly treasure. And there are two features Jesus gives us of earthly treasures. First of all, they're temporary. We talked about the temporary part last week. Earthly treasures can get eaten up. They can corrode or be devalued. They can be lost or stolen. They are temporary. Now, secondly, earthly treasures are troublesome. Look at what verse 25 says. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And then verse 27 says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And verse 28, do not worry about the clothes you wear. And verse 31, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we wear? And verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And Jesus lists off all these things that in life we worry so much about. Doesn't it seem a little strange that the characteristic of a person who's living materialistically is to worry? If you are doing well materially, you would think that you wouldn't worry about some of these things. I mean, you would have your food and drink and clothing and home and whatever else there is. But you know, materialism is founded on a false assumption. And that assumption is, the more I get, the more content I will be. You know, that's not the way it is at all. In reality, the more I get, the more I have to look after. And the more I have to look after, the more I can lose. And the more I can lose, well, the more worried I become about losing it. And the very things which we often think make us secure actually are the things which leave us insecure and overcome by worry. Jesus says, if your treasure is on earth, what will happen is you are going to be characterized by worry. Because the things that you are accumulating are not only temporary, but they're extremely vulnerable, and you can easily lose them. So not only is earthly treasure temporary, it is also troublesome, and it brings worry. Earthly treasures will rob you of peace and will bring you worry and will rob you of security that you were designed to have. Jesus said in verse 32, "For pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Jesus says earthly treasures are pagan pursuits. Don't run after them. But understand this, your heavenly Father knows what you need. We do not always know what we need. We think we know what we need, but so often we're wrong on that. But we are to trust our heavenly Father who does know what we need. Which is why Jesus then said in verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." All what things? Well, food and drink and clothing and health and, well, life itself. The features of earthly treasure are they are temporary and they are troublesome. Yet the features of heavenly treasure are they are permanent and they are peaceful. They are permanent as verse 20, back in verse 20 it says, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal." You know, if your treasure is stored up in heaven, there is no devaluation. There's no corrosion. There are no burglars. It's safe and it's secure and it is permanent. Now, the second thing about heavenly treasure is that it is peaceful. It's not troublesome. Instead of anxiety, there is peace. Jesus talked about not being anxious in verse 25. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are?" Jesus is saying, don't worry about your life, what you eat, what you drink, or about your body. Take a lesson from the birds. You know, have you ever seen a bird having a nervous breakdown because they're wearing the same thing today as they were yesterday? Or the food cupboard is now empty? You might say, well, that's a little bit strange and silly. I mean, it's just birds. Well, you know, the birds, they don't just sit at home waiting for God to stuff their beaks. They go out and they peck around and, yeah, they find bugs and worms. And Jesus' point here is the birds just don't sit around with an open mouth for God waiting to rain down all these things upon them. No, they work hard. One bird is watching the kids in the nest while the other's out searching for food. You know, Dad comes back and he drops off a worm and Mom chops it up and feeds the kids while Dad goes off to find something else for them to eat. Dads are a little like that, you know. They're out getting worms and, well, they're providing all day long. Way to go, Dad. Now, moms, don't get upset. You provide too. And I know you work hard as well. You know, Jesus' point here is making that you're to work hard, and we do, but don't worry, God will provide. As Jesus said in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All these things, all the material things, they will be yours as well. God will provide them for you. Now, they won't fall out of the sky. They don't come down and land on your front doorstep at nighttime and you find them in the morning. No, you go out and you work and you earn them. But you don't worry about them. God will provide what you need. So you don't have to be anxious about your body. God will take care of you. And you're also not to be anxious about the length of your life. Because as it says in verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Worrying won't help keep you alive. It'll probably end up killing you even sooner. As verse 34 says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, that might sound a little bit irresponsible, but Jesus is talking about your life. And when you're living for this present world, you know, death then is the ultimate tragedy that ends everything. But Jesus is saying, if you lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, when death comes, you'll not be anxious. And there's two reasons why you won't be anxious. First, God controls our death. The whole world is in the power of the evil one. And we know there's lots of bad things that go on in our world. We hear that every time we turn the news on. But as we learn from the book of Job, when Satan sets out in fury and anger to do his dirty work, it is only as much as he is permitted to do. Satan operates within the sovereign parameters of God. Satan is not all-powerful. Now, of course, we don't relish the thought of dying. We don't relish the prospect of being separated from our loved ones. Many people have great concerns and worries about that. But Jesus addresses this problem in John 14, verse 1, when he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know, the second reason not to be anxious about dying, Jesus said, is I am going to prepare a place for you. Not only, first of all, is God controls the time of our death, he's the giver of life and he's the taker of it. But Jesus has now said, I am going to prepare a place for you. Jesus was going to the cross. That's how Jesus was going to prepare a place for us. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection from the dead, and his ascent to the Father are all part of the I'm going to prepare a place for you. And there is room for everybody who has stored up treasure in heaven. And Jesus said, I will come again and take you to be where I am. And those who lay up treasure in heaven, those whose master is Jesus Christ himself, have the prospect and the joy of heaven before them. And God controls that day of our death. And that day will be a glorious graduation into our heavenly home. We go, praise God. Yes, we leave behind loved ones, and we're sad about that and the prospect of that. And they're sad that we're gone. At least we hope they're sad that we're gone. But we ourselves are united with the Lord forever, with having that treasure stored up in heaven. So what is there to fear? You know, the solemn message of this passage is that we have a very short window of opportunity, which is right now, during our life at this very moment of time, to determine where we will store up our treasure. And that window of opportunity to invest in heavenly treasure could well be shorter than you think. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said a very similar thing about worry on that occasion, but he prefaced it with a story, a short story. I want to read that to us from Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Jesus said, "Then he said to them, 'Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.' And he told them this parable. 'The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, "You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. And then Jesus goes on in the following verses to talk about worry. You know, there's nothing wrong with being successful. Maybe that's why you are successful, because God has richly blessed you. But the problem here is, this man was not rich toward God. He was storing up things for himself that could spoil, that could be eaten up, that could rot, that could be stolen, that he could lose. It was all temporary stuff. And God said, "You fool." You know, you're not foolish for making money. That is not being a fool. You're not a fool for making your land productive. That's not foolish. You're not a fool for building bigger barns. That was not what was foolish. You are a fool because you forgot you have a soul. And tonight you have an appointment. And it has nothing to do with your barns. It has nothing to do with your resources. It has nothing to do with your wealth. It has everything to do with your heavenly treasure. And this man was bankrupt spiritually. And God said, "You fool." Where have you invested your life? And it boils down to one of two options. It's either physical or it is spiritual. It is either temporal, it won't last long, or it is eternal. It is either earthbound or it is heavenbound. Those are the only options. And one of the great benefits of laying up treasure in heaven, besides it being permanent and peaceful, is that you start to reap the dividends of it right away, right now. You do not worry. You live at peace. Because the things that cause worry, food and clothes and body and length of life, they're not your responsibility anymore. You've passed them over to Jesus. You seek him. You're seeking his kingdom. You're seeking his righteousness. And all these things are now his business. They'll be added to you. It's God's business, and you are at peace. And so Jesus says, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or what you drink or about your body and what you'll wear. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, it's got enough problems of its own. It will worry about itself when you get there then. Don't worry about it now. But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. You know, as we close, let me ask, are you storing up treasure in heaven? Or has your treasure, is it all stored up here on earth? You know, maybe you have been realizing through this just last few minutes that we've been together that you're working for all the wrong things and your life has become full of worry. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do you know the eternal security of giving your life to Jesus Christ and allowing him to be your master? If God has been speaking to you through this, I would encourage you to respond to Jesus right now by praying a simple prayer and inviting Jesus to take over your life. You know, you might say, well, gee, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what I'd say to God. You know, you can just start by simply talking and saying something very similar to this. You might say, Lord Jesus, I realize I have been seeking all the wrong things in life. I want to know you and grow in you. Forgive me of my sinful ways. Take control of my life and teach me your ways so that I can store up all my treasure in eternal heavenly things. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.